over the last few weeks, I've been walking through the various attributes of Jesus that were listed in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. I'll put that up on the screen. If you put that verse up on the screen, let me just show you what we've been walking through as a church. So it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." So we'll conclude the series this evening with just focusing on that Prince of Peace. What a mighty task that is enveloped in that particular title. Oh, peace is so much what we need in our lives and in our world. Would you agree? There's such a lack of peace. There's a lack of peace sometimes in marriages and in homes. There's a lack of peace in our cities and our culture. There's a lack of peace certainly in our national government. There's a lack of peace around the world. Oh, how desperately we need peace. But there's only one Prince of Peace who can bring all of that. Many promise, but only one Prince. So that's why we worship tonight and we celebrate the birth of that peace giver. I just want to give you a few observations from the Scriptures that show us how much this peace is needed and is provided. The first thing is that peace is what we pursue. I think that's a universal truth. Though we don't always obtain it, we don't always realize it in our lives, I believe every person in their own soul desires peace, so we pursue it. Internationally, we have war-torn nations that want peace. And I'm thankful for those who serve our country in the military who are away this Christmas, not with their families, but they're protecting both our safety and security and some of those nations that they're serving in to keep those people safe who are unable to protect themselves. So be mindful of those who are serving. There's always wars and rumors of wars. And I'm about tired of hearing about North Korea and what they're promising. Boy, we need peace in his own heart. Do you ever pray for the salvation of awful, evil dictators? I know that sometimes we look and go, man, I wish God would wipe them off the planet. Yes, if that's his will. But man, I pray that the peace that comes from Christ would enter into their soul, and what difference that would make for their entire nation if they became God followers. Internationally, we need peace. Nationally, we need peace. Sometimes Christmas and Thanksgiving gatherings can be places of hostility because you're bringing together people, though they're all related by blood, they're not in the same vein politically or culturally anymore, and they want to fight over these things. I pray that this particular holiday you would just let peace reign. Don't talk about politics. Don't talk about what the national media wants you to think about this season. You'll never find peace in politics, period. Doesn't matter who is president and who's in Congress, there will always be division because everybody's trying to rise up and be their own prince of their own little kingdom. There's only one Prince of Peace. We need peace relationally. Divisions in families and marriages and neighborhoods and workplaces. How can we just surrender ourselves to the Prince of Peace and say, God, you are enough and you will satisfy me. I'm here just to serve. There are some in here who struggle with peace just emotionally. There's a lot of inner turmoil in your own heart. Perhaps things you've collected along the way or words that have been spoken to you that were negative and you've kind of allowed that to stay with you. There's been disappointment this past year or distraction, discouragement. Some of you are on depression medication. Even lives who have been devastated by the destruction of property or even death of loved ones, and you're emotionally not at peace, listen to me, there is a God who brings peace even in those kind of circumstances. I doubt you've ever come to a Christmas Eve service and sung, "It is well with my soul." But even in this season, sometimes we need to sing something like that to remember that it may not be the greatest Christmas on your calendar. It may be one of the most struggling times right now. But with Christ, it can be well with your soul. And spiritually, oh, how we need to pursue peace spiritually. We may be uncertain of where we're going and what's happening in our lives. If there may be things bigger than us in this world that we just don't know how to navigate. But there is a God who loves you, who will provide for you, who will protect you. He just wants the relationship with you. Christ is more than just some story we talk about in a manger. He's the living Lord who was in existence before Bethlehem, and he's been in existence ever since. He is the God of eternity who comes to bring someone who doesn't have peace, full peace, when you trust in him alone. Peace is what we pursue, and peace is what God provides. Listen to a few passages from the scriptures. In the Old Testament, book of Numbers, chapter 6, it says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." In the book of Psalm, chapter 29, verse 11, "May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace." In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you." Did you hear that? God keeps people in perfect peace whose mind are focused and stayed on him. Because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in all ways. The Lord be with you all." These promises are not just for Old Testament times or New Testament times. These promises are even for right now. There's a lot of turmoil in lives, both relationally and nationally and all these things. But listen to me, the God who promises is the God who fulfills. And when Christ came, he was the Prince of Peace, promised many years before he was born, taking on human flesh. But he is the Lord who himself gives peace at all times. And in every way, the Lord will be with you all. Peace is what we pursue. Peace is what God provides. And peace is what Jesus personifies. You want to know what peace is? I mean, I've never seen like a universal pageant, you know, where one of the young ladies gets up there and doesn't say, you know, "What is it that you'd like?" "Well, I just want world peace." Don't they all just say that? I think it's something you have to memorize. And if I would just love the opportunity to speak to them and say, well, what does that mean? What would world peace look like? Jesus is the personification of peace. To look at him, to see how he lives his life, to see what he is able to do. He brings calm and peace to every situation. He's never in a hurry. He's never anxious. He's never worried. Pharisees would get worried about things. The disciples were, you know, struggling about things. "Hey, we got all these people. We got to feed them. What are we going to do? Let's send them away." "Calm down, boys. What do we have? We got some fish and loaves. Just feed them." He was always a person of peace. Not because he just knew how to live peace. He is peace. His disposition always displayed peace. His long suffering that he endured showed peace. There were attacks from those who opposed him, and there were even the sinfulness of his own followers who started running away from him at the time he was being crucified. The long suffering endurance showed peace. You remember when Jesus was on the cross, and they're gambling for his clothes underneath, and people are spitting at him and all. And what do you say? "Father, forgive them. They have no idea what they're doing." You know, some people say that Jesus was a lunatic. Some people say he was a liar. But you know what I see? I see the Lord of peace stepping in and going, The reason you don't know how to characterize me is because there's nothing equal to me in your whole world. There is no equal. The forgiveness that he offers is the peace personified through him. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 tells us clearly, for he himself is our peace. See, peace is what Jesus presents to you. There's two types of peace in the scriptures I want to focus on. There's several kinds of peace, but two of them I'd like to focus on. One is that there's a peace with God that we need. And the second one is that there's a peace of God that we need. You can't have the peace of God until you have peace with God. Every one of us are an enemy to God without us having the blood of Christ covering us and allowing us into the presence of God. Because of our own sin, we keep ourselves away. But Jesus is the peacemaker between sinful man and holy God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 clearly states to us, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, there's no way to the Father, no way to God except through the Son. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There are many people who try to get to a God or God himself in any other way. And Jesus did not allow that. He doesn't want to be included with the bunch of, okay, just pick your religion, pick your belief system, you all get to the same place. It's not true. Just get in your car and start driving, you'll end up in the same place? No. You know, I used to use the Rand McNally maps, and we'd pull it all out, and we'd try to find where we're going. Now, I'm dependent upon the GPS in my phone, and guess what? It's not always right. One time, I was driving to a conference in Tennessee. This happened like 2 years ago. I ended up in the middle of a field somewhere with nothing around, and it said, you have arrived. I didn't know if it was God's message saying, you need to just chill out for a while, or what. No, sometimes we get, you can't just go anywhere and end up in the same place. And Jesus did not include himself with the multitudes of ways people try to get to God. He said, I'm it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to the Father except through me. As good of a teacher he was, you can't say, well, he was a good teacher, but I won't follow him. I'll get there another way. No. Either he was right or he was wrong. But I tell you, there's a million ways to get lost, but there's only one way to God, and it's through Jesus. That's how we have peace with God. It's through the avenue of trusting by faith in the Son of God. He came as a baby, taking on human flesh, lived a perfect, holy life, died on the cross for our sins, rose from the grave. See, he took our sinfulness to the grave, and he added righteousness to us, defeating death and giving you eternal life if you'll trust him. Leads me to having peace of God. It's one thing to have now peace with God, that I can commune with him, I can pray to him. He's there at every moment. He's promised he will never leave me nor forsake me. He will guide me. He will enlighten his word to me. He gives me the Holy Spirit that gives me the gifts and the direction. But there are some times, even though I have peace with God, I'm struggling with the peace of God. What do I do in this situation? There's things going wrong in my life, and I don't have any control over it. Have you found yourself in that situation before? You thought you had everything going well, and then all of a sudden it all goes to crazy, and you can't grab onto the ends of anything and direct it anymore. It just kind of has its own mind and direction. God, I don't know what to do here. I need your peace, even in my inadequacy. I don't know what to do, but you're in control. The peace of God. This is what I pray. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. That's hard. But it's a promise that we don't have to be anxious because we don't have to hold on to things we can't control anyway. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. If you'll do that, guess what happens in verse 7? And the peace of God, which surpasses all of your understanding, not his understanding, he knows full well what's going to happen and how he's orchestrating things. But if you will just turn it all over to him, his peace will enter your life, even surpassing the limited understanding you have, and it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There's a promise. When you have the peace with God, you can have the peace of God, even now. And I love how Jesus promised us before he ascended into heaven. He said in John chapter 14, "Peace I leave with you." You know that's with you now? That peace is available here? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The peace with God and the peace of God is from the Prince of Peace that came in Bethlehem. Would you pray with me as we prepare to light our candles, to light a world that is dark, to light a world that is lacking peace, but peace has been given. Father, I'm thankful that Christmas is far more than just exchanging a few presents and enjoying family members. It really is a reminder of the peace that has been provided through the eternal Son of God. And in representation of the light that he brings to dark lives, that the peace with God that's provided through Jesus, and the peace of God that illuminates our lives and our way. I pray that as we light these candles, it will be a hope giving to us that you are very near. The Lord is at hand. We need not be anxious, but in everything we will pray with thanksgiving, and you'll guard our hearts and our minds in the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. Amen. I have Mike, Dwight, Chuck, come on down. Hopefully you received one of the candles. I'll light this one candle. If we can go ahead and dim the lights. It's my favorite part of the service. When Jesus came, it wasn't a precious, lovely time. It was a very dark time, a dark time of sin. It was 400 years since God had spoken to his people. But the light of the world came, Jesus Christ. And those lowly shepherds were invited, and they came, and they were illuminated. And they shared that with everybody in the city. About a year later, the Magi came, and they shared their light. And ever since that time, people who've received the light have been eager to share it with someone else. Every one of us are recipients of that gospel message from someone. But it all started there on that Christmas morn. You may need to push your candle up just a tad to be able to touch